Welcome back to the Midlife Hour. I know you've been missing us. We missed last week. Got a little sniffles, got a little sick. My voice was sounding like I was, you know, had a sort of roll of sandpaper and just shoving it down my throat. But we're back to give you guys a severance breakdown. So on this podcast, we peel back the layers of the Lumen Industries and explore mysteries of severance. I'm DP Grizzly. That's my boy, Bob. And today, we're going to dive into episodes 5, Trojan Horse, and episode 6, Attila. And whether you've been with us from the beginning through some of our other reviews and recaps, we've got you. We dive deep and we are going to talk about these twist filled episodes in season 2. Take it away, Bob.
Episode 5, Trojan's Horse, was circled around Milchick's performance review and the whole racial aspect of him looking at the paintings and him asking Natalie how she felt. But I'm pretty sure we can all agree she's severed when she's at work, maybe. So she's not going to give him an honest opinion of anything. She's in work mode.
That's a good point. You know, in Trojan Horse, the series takes a sharp turn as a seemingly, you know, innocuous element or character sneaks into Lumen's already fractured system. So the episode's title, I feel, is like a double entendre. It's a play on words. Trojan Horse, as in Heli or Helena being exposed as infiltrating the innies. Also Trojan Horse, because, you know, Mark was packing them Trojan condoms. When he was
and that's what I thought it was going to be about. I thought it was going to be she's pregnant. And after 2 days, she's going to know because she's in a revolving, she's revolving with her father, and they just know things spiritually because of this whole Lumen Industries thing. They're so in tune with their spirits that after an hour after intercourse, they know if they're pregnant or not. It's that spiritual with these Egans.
With the Egans?
With the
Egans. I mean, we witness the subtle shifts in loyalty and, you know, the growing mistrust as what appears to be a gift turns into a potential weapon against the very system the characters have been forced to serve, you know, having the implants and being subjects of Lumen. And the betrayal feels almost inevitable once you see the clues laid out in front of you. Like, the episode isn't only just about the external threat. It's about the internal war waging within each individual. You see Dylan and kind of his, like, feigning loyalty. He's upset about Irving leaving. You know, he demands to have the funeral and everything. But, you know, he's also playing into the system because he's getting to see his wife. He's getting to experience some of the outside benefits.
And he's loving it. But, you know, Milchick's also getting tired of the...
He's tripping and he's loving it.
Tripping and he's loving it. But Milchick's also getting tired of the system, isn't he?
Maybe. There might be some fractures in that porcelain.
He seems to be a little tired of playing the game as a black male in the Lumen Industries. And for those of you who aren't black watching, I don't mean to be a racial guy about it, but that's literally what it's referencing, is his struggle as a black man in Lumen. So, I don't know what to tell you. What other takeaways can we get from episode 5, Trojan's Horse? Was it Mark's sister?
What do you think? Do you think Milchick left the note behind the painting?
No. I think if we want to talk real quick, just switch gears about who Irving is talking to on the phone, I think it's Mark's sister that he's talking to on the phone.
Think so? I think it's probably a figment of his imagination and his brain is split.
Back at some of the episodes and his sister's asking weird questions.
He's probably talking to some journalist who's investigating Lumen.
Yeah, I could see that. But let's get past episode 5 so we can get into episode 6. Because in my opinion, episode 6
was
so much
better. That a smooth transition there, Bob?
Midlife, bro. Midlife crisis.
All right. So obviously it's been a week. Some of our thoughts and memories are kind of have faded from episode 5 as episode 6 is more fresh in our memory. Again, point the finger at me. We all have weaknesses.
It's not
my immune system. Bob's is his hairline.
Once again, it's the midlife hour and midlife motherfuckers get
sick. You just walked all over my joke.
No, because it's true though. They need to be sympathetic to my boy. We're fucking old. He's out in the snow. He needs to rest.
That wasn't the joke. That wasn't the joke. But
my bad. I was getting defensive. You know I love
you. I know. You didn't hear me. I said, everybody has a weakness. Mine is my immune system. Bob's is his hairline.
Fuck you. You know what? Fuck this hat. I don't need this hat.
That sounds more like you.
I don't need this hat.
That sounds more like you. All right. Moving on to Attila. The stakes reach their zenith. This episode acts like a battle cry, a full-scale onslaught that shatters the remnants of control that Lumen Industries has over its employees. In Attila, we witness a dramatic confrontation where long-suppressed tensions erupt into chaos, key characters step up in unexpected ways, and the final moments are both devastating and exhilarating.
How does this episode start? It starts with a... Well, shit. See, I fucked up the transition because episode 5, we get Heli back, right? And that's episode 6, we get all of Heli, but this time she's promiscuous Heli, right?
In episode 6, promiscuous girls.
You're teasing me. Might be my favorite episode of the season. The first topic I want to get on is Bert's dinner with Irving. I think a lot of people I see in the Reddit forums are saying that Mr. Drummond was sent by Bert to set up Irving's belongings to get searched and ransacked. I truly believe, and this is my opinion, that Bert's innie is out and he remembered Irving and he wants to have a little three-way. And Fields seemed down with it in a lot of ways, but it makes you kind of hate it. That whole sequence made you kind of hate Bert and Irving more than it made you sympathize with Fields.
Yeah, except for Fields looks like he's a secret Egan. What I think is going on is, as odd as it may sound, the Lonely Island said it's not gay when it's in a three-way. But in this case, this dinner was all gay in a three-way. I think Bert knows more about what's going on than he's letting on. I think Irvin is probably we saw that he previously worked for was in the military. He's probably part of some government agency that's investigating Lumen. This re-entering of Bert into his life as he's like communicating with someone on the outside is probably Lumen's attempt to stop his efforts from sabotaging things. They've probably figured out that he knows too much. And especially after whoever found that map, like Irving is a threat and they're probably using Bert to go after him.
And to add, Bert doesn't mind getting his dick wet with a company ink. His pen wet with company ink, in other words.
Because I think the biggest impact narratively from the dinner was that Bert's stated reasons for joining Lumen is because innies have souls, and maybe his innie's soul would be saved, so it would join his husband in the afterlife.
Which is a ridiculous thing to think and from a religious standpoint anyway. Because the whole thing makes you think of the Mark of the Beast. The whole, what Christians are to believe what the Mark of the Beast is going to be, which is going to be an implant to the brain more than likely. Right. So,
well, speaking of the mark of the beast, the symbolism in Attila is hard to miss. Like, just as the historical Attila led a fearsome invasion, the forces within Lumen seem to break through all the defenses. The episode is like leaving you with a powerful cliffhanger, emphasizing the struggle for autonomy between the innies and the outies. And the truth is far from that. I thought some of the biggest highlights were the acceleration of Mark's reintegration, Helena meeting Mark at the diner.
That bullshit meet cute. What was your take from that? Because to me, that was just a meet cute. It was she was trying to see if the love interest from the inside would travel to the outside. And once again, I see a lot of Redditors saying that it was like her because he messed up at work or some shit throughout the day because of time lapses. Shut the fuck up. No validation. What did you think of that? I thought it was just a meet cute. Her ass was being weird as fuck.
I think there's always a dual interest in whatever Helena does. So I think it's all in all likelihood she's there on Lumen business. But just as she was curious when she saw Heli interact with Mark and give him a kiss, and then that led to her and the intercourse on the outside trip, I think there definitely is some interest there. She's a Egan. Her life is cold. Everyone she interacts with is cold. There's no human behavior left in these employees. So I think seeing Heli and her human relationship with Mark, Helena is envious of that. So I think that is an interest, but a dual interest to go alongside her Lumen interest.
They got an ice box where their heart used to be. What else do you want to touch on? Because there's a lot to touch on.
Yeah. Roll with it.
We'll go with Milchick jumping off into how he said, is he going against the company in episode 5? Because that whole, you need to grow up in the mirror. And then you need to grow. And then he shortens it to just grow.
That was some phenomenal acting. And that was such an eerie and odd like scene.
This is a little off topic, but I wonder if this series makes people appreciate the Cable Guy a little more.
I'm sure a lot of its audience doesn't even draw connections to the Cable Guy or have even seen it.
It's the same style, you know, clearly not the story, but you get what I'm saying. It's the same style. Yeah, Ben Stiller got shit on when it first came out, the Cable Guy. And it's just funny to see how it succeeds, what, 30 years later, 35 years later?
Something like that. How do you feel about the reintegration? So there was that big scene in episode 6 where Mark, after they come back from their little tent extravaganza, and Mark goes in to kiss Heli. He's like, you're bleeding. She's like, no, you are. And Miss Wong is helping him with his nosebleed. And, you know, he reintegrates and he's back in the basement doing his reintegration process. So what do you think? Do you think that actually happened? Is that a figment of this process that's going on, or is there a blank space? Are we now starting to see the series more from Audi Mark's perspective and only getting glimpses of what's occurring on the inside?
So real quick, Miss Huang has aged like 6 months throughout the series. I mean, you hit me with a lot right now. So I'll break it down with you're going to have to repeat that for me again. That was a lot. It was crazy how at the end of the episode in episode 6, when she was talking about we have to flood your chip. And, you know, clearly in the middle of the episode, towards the latter of the episode, he was, fuck that, I got to go. And that's where the meet cue happened. And then when he goes back and it starts to flood, they're definitely scaring us to think that he's dead, that he's going to die, that he's going to pull a Petey. But clearly there's no show without him. So he's going to have to pull through. How he does that, I don't know. How his sister and Ragabi even get along after that, I don't know. I don't know, man. That whole interaction was interesting because she just came running out of the basement and his sister's like, who the fuck are you? How would you feel it? You know, you see your family member fucking about to die and then some rando comes out of the basement. It's a lot of emotions that you're going to be going through.
I feel like in this strange universe, that is not that strange, right? So the heart of my question was, we are throughout this season, we would get like an episode of the Innie experience, an episode of the Outie experience. As the season has gone along, we're starting to get more of that integration between the two experiences on the inside of Lumen, on the outside, in the state of Lumen, or in the state of Kerr, here, right? So my question is, with all these flashbacks that we're starting to see, it feels like we're seeing more of the story from Audi Mark's from a perspective, and we're seeing glimpses of what's occurring on the inside. So do you think that is intentional? Are we experiencing gaps because of the reintegration and because of the narrative shift to Audi Mark's POV?
I see what you're saying now. And I think that'd be a good way to get season 3 going off, is those lapses in time could be an entire season 3 of what happened in Lumen. You get what I'm saying? And then maybe not an entire season 3, but it could definitely make up a lot of content for it. And we skipped over, I just have to say how disrespectful it was of Helly talking about, what was her name, Hannah?
So you're going to ignore the actual question like 2 times
no,
in a row now?
I answered it. I answered the question. I told the wife earlier, I think it was 2 days ago, I said, I would love to see someone make an edit of just the Innie's day for an episode, and then the next episode be the Audi's day. And then almost like how someone did a Pulp Fiction in order.
Except for when it comes to Severance, during the work week, it would just be 8 to 10 hours of the Innie doing mindless tasks, and then 4 hours of being at home, and then another 8 hours of the Audi sleeping.
But my ask is confused sometimes. Every now and then, I'm forgetting if I'm watching the Innie or the Audi. You know what I'm saying?
I think they do a good job using lighting and makeup to distinguish between the two. Like, even with Mark, when you see Mark on the inside, he's clean cut. He's chipper, strong jaw. He's typically smiling. He's very articulate with his words, right? When you see Mark on the outside, he looks like somebody who's depressed. He
just
looks
run
like
down.
He looks like a...
Yeah.
Like, you could see his anxiety on his face. So I think they always do a good job of portraying the two different entities
How
in the
story. How good was his acting, though, in this last episode? I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, phenomenal. And from his flashes, from his reintegration, when he becomes Mark S. and Audi Mark again. You could definitely tell the two different types. For my ass, even, who can't tell sometimes when they're Innie or Audi.
Yeah, so that brings up my question again. We're experiencing narrative blanks at the end of the episode where Mark's nose starts bleeding and then we flash to the inside. We have no idea what happened after that on the inside. And I think that's an indication of where the narrative is going to go, because telling the story in this manner builds suspense. And as the story's been kind of filled with a lot of humor in these early episodes, I know you mentioned being a little disappointed that there was so much humor. I think we're now going to lean into more of the suspense and get more resolution when it comes to the story.
So do you think then, is that the reason Miss Huang was giving him those tests inside of the facility? Because they have reason to believe that he may be up to something.
Absolutely.
Reintegration-wise?
Absolutely. And I think Helena is at the heart of that. Of that suspicion.
She did make that comment, what was it, when she was at the diner? Hope they're feeding you up there. So, who knows?
I'm excited wife, to see. Anna.
Yeah, that was very disrespectful, man. But I get it. I get it from a supervisor standpoint. You don't want to come off as too overfamiliar or whatever the fuck, but unacceptable behavior. I don't like her on the outside at all. We're at the beginning of this episode, we got to see real Helly. She was talking a lot of shit early on. Just a lot of shit. That's the Helly that I miss. That we all probably missed. Oh, wait. Dylan G's wife.
Lying to Audi Dylan about meeting up with any Dylan. Is it cheating?
I think it's wrong what she's doing.
What part?
You can't have the same relationship that you had even with our wives and the beginning of the relationship, because everything's fresh and new. You don't know everything about everybody yet. You're still learning. You're learning their likes, dislikes, interests with it. You know what I'm saying? I noticed some things in Audie Dillon's life in the last episode. It might have been a boring conversation that they had, but at the end, he was talking to his kid. The kid wasn't eating on his own. He reached over with the spoon and he fed the child. Shows me he's an attentive father. It might not be the best relationship anymore, but it's not fair to compare it to a brand new beginning, because everything, like I said, is exciting then, no? Like, it's just not fair.
I think you see it through a completely different lens than I do. I think they are the same individual. They're just isolated aspects, and different elements of that same being are accentuated under different conditions, right? So Dillon at home has a different set of stresses that he's responding to. Dillon on the inside has a completely different set of stresses that he's responding to. But at the core of who they are, I think it's the same person. Now, what I saw during that dinner is dude not realizing what's important. Like, you're saying you're focusing on him feeding. He was focusing on going to test drive a car and then making a promise that he wasn't going to buy anything. He was just going to test drive it, right? So, and like, we can see based off of the structure of their interactions thus far that this is a family that's in stress, right? Some financial strain, especially Dillon having trouble keeping a job. That was revealed to Dillon, to any Dillon, during the familiar meetup. So I see a Dillon on the outside who fails to see what's relevant, what's important, and focus on those things. Test driving a new car did not seem like a priority.
Yeah, we know a guy that's like that. Well, we did. But still, I still stand by. It's just a little bit unfair and a little bit nonsensical, because I think the next step is going to be...
nonsensical?
Well, yeah, because I think the next step is going to be what they offer. And I think I said it in the last podcast, maybe. They're going to offer, well, you know, we can get rid of Audie Dillon and you can just keep any Dillon. But it's like...
I absolutely think they're going to offer that. And I think that element in and of itself is supposed to beg the question, is severance completely wrong, right? If he can become a better person, a more effective person or productive person, and should you be presented with that option to be that person on the outside? I definitely think that's what they're building towards. It's not all evil, right?
Think about someone non-severance show related, but just in that topic related, someone that went through a lot of domestic abuse as an adult, or maybe a lot of physical abuse as a child, and then they get severed and they can forget all those memories. I remember they were saying you can clone a dog now for like $25,000 or something. This is a possibility. But they said you're going to clone your dog. It's going to look like your dog, but it's not going to be the same dog. The environment that the first dog you had is going to come into a big play. Like, did you have kids when you had your first dog? Do you have kids now? Did you have more time to spend with the dog? Do you have time now? So the personality is going to be completely different. And that ties into exactly what you said, right? As far
well,
as
any, we're any talking about it. We're talking about environmental factors on a person's personality. But that also begs the question, when at the dinner party, when they're talking about any's having souls, right? And salvation for that any person. So it's one of two things. It's either they're separate individuals or they're the same individual. I don't think environmental aspects changing a person's personality is enough to say they're not the same person. They're the same person under different conditions.
But what if you fell in love with someone's personality?
I think that is what happens. I think that's what happens in the real world.
So say, a lot of comedians, right, they say that they were funny because the struggle that they had to come up in. Richard Pryor grew up in a brothel, for instance. You take that away and he's severed. Is the comedy the same? He's the same guy, but is the comedy the same?
No, I wouldn't expect the comedy to be the same, because his environmental factors play a pivotal, influential role in developing a person's personality. My point
being...
But that's
why it's not fair, right? If she were to swipe out any Dillon for Audie Dillon, she met Audie Dillon, who might have seen someone get murdered, might have seen fucking, might have had to kill someone himself. She might have fell in love with his badassness. And now she's tired of it. And that's not really, you know what I'm saying? It's hypothetical what I'm saying. But now you want the sensitive, always excited to see you because he's never seen you before. And that's a great feeling, but it's not a realistic feeling.
I think it's way too of an emotional take to take on it, right? Because we're talking about the same person. And I don't think just because someone experiences something negative and it negatively impacts their personality doesn't justify their actions, right? So she's dealing with two halves of the same individual. One who is the same person whose positive qualities have been accentuated due to a lack of...
How did Mark Guest take it?
What do you mean, how did Marquez take it?
when he found out that he was raped by Audi Helena? Raped. How did he take it when he found out that it was a body swap? When he found out that the woman that he was emotionally invested in wasn't the one that he had intercourse with?
You mean any Mark?
Yeah, any Audi Helena, though.
That was the source of my confusion. I was like, what? You mean any Mark? I think any Mark was definitely devastated, but I think that betrayal came from the fact, mostly from the fact that he had been on this journey of answering questions about Lumen, and the person that he was the closest to was actually just there to impede him at every step. Now, I don't think it would have been as much of an impact had Heli not returned, but the fact that Heli did return and the impact that it had on her, I think played the bigger role in what Mark felt.
But it was psychologically damaging for both of them.
Significantly so for Heli, which I thought was hilarious and probably meant to be in the script, is when she said, but she did it with my body. And again, it's not Heli's body. It's the same body.
But it's still got to be a feeling of like getting roofied for her, right? Like you wake up and all of a sudden you found out someone had sex with you. That's not okay. That's a weird feeling, regardless if it's you or not.
I think that's a way bigger intellectual question that can't be reduced to you being roofied, because the two situations are not equal in the slightest bit.
1,000% it's like being roofied. 1,000%.
It's not. Helena is a person. Helena is the person who got the chip put in her brain to sever herself. Helena was the person who was present during that exchange. If any person was betrayed in that instance, it would be Mark for thinking he was sleeping with someone who he was not.
They consider these innies, even herself, as animals. She said it. She said they're animals. Animals, which means they also think of them
what
with the minds of children.
What are you arguing now? Because I'm arguing that this is a roofie is not an equivalent analogy to what was depicted.
She raped Mark.
Okay, but in the instance that you were just drawing an analogy to, where somebody is being roofied, that would apply to Heli, not to Mark.
Well, Mark got raped, but just like Skinwalker raped, right? And then Heli just got roofied. So one person, they both got raped, but in different ways.
Yeah, I don't think you can draw those same conclusions relative to regular life to these situations with severed individuals. I think that question is way more complex. If anyone was betrayed, it was Mark, any Mark. But it wasn't Heli's body. It was Helena's body.
Imagine this. You go to work, you're severed. And you go home, you're with your wife and your kids, and you're waking up in the morning. You go to take a piss, and there's a wart on the top of your penis. You don't know where it came from. You didn't cheat on your wife as an out. You don't know what the fuck. And that, you know, season one, they said that there was like a news article where someone's innie got pregnant. I think that's foreshadowing.
I mean, I think that's definitely foreshadowing, but even in the instance that you just described, that doesn't relate to what we were just discussing. Because
no,
in that
but that's
instance,
what Mark could be going through right now. We don't know. He could wake up with some shit.
We gotta move on from this conversation because you're not following your own logic.
He could wake up with some shit though, like as an innie, and that would kind of piss you off. I'll bullshit aside, not even trying to sound funny. Like,
now you're saying as an innie when you were just talking about the Audi.
Well, Audi Mark doesn't know if he fucked Heli, right?
So exactly. So you said, what happens if Audi Mark wakes up and he's got a wart? He obviously would be confused about what the fuck's going on, but that in and of itself, that doesn't relate to the previous interactions between Heli and Helena and Helena and any Mark.
They say redheads are promiscuous. And so that would point all signs to Mark Guest getting herpes.
What's your predictions for the next episode?
We're going to find out Bert isn't as evil in the sense of him trying to set up Irving, that he really was trying to, well, not him, but Fields really wanted to see who was fucking his husband or boyfriend in Lumen, which is reasonable. And I say it's reasonable by the dinner, by the way Fields was talking. He didn't ask any crazy questions. He just wanted to get to the bottom of things. And it, like I said earlier, it made you want to like him more than Bert and Irving. Boom. I think we see Mark S. in the hospital somewhere. Maybe a Lumen hospital. Maybe this is the first look we get at a Lumen hospital. What do you think?
I literally was going to go off the cuff and say that I think we are going to see Mark, Audi Mark, wake up in a Lumen hospital.
Almost like an episode of From. Maybe we'll see Miss Wong there. Maybe we'll see Milchick there, but it'll be a Lumen hospital. I got a feeling they own everything.
This is their world.
I think they do own everything. Where does this story go? I think Milchick will be the first one to break. I think Miss Coble will probably make her return in the next episode, and she'll be working in cahoots with somebody, whether that's Milchick, whether that is Mark, or it may be even
Irving.
Or maybe she's working with Bert. Who knows?
I just don't think Bert's working with anybody. We'll see Mark's sister take more of a stance on what the fuck's going on with him and be more involved. This is going to be more of her. She's a good actor. We need to see more of her anyway. I think that pretty much sums up the next episode. What's the title of the next episode?
I don't know. Let's see.
Chick-Hi-Bardo. An old romance intersects with a deadly present threat. That's the title. I can't wait. I can't say it's better than season one because season one made us hooked, but it's picking up definitely through the mid episodes after this Woo's Hollow. So hopefully it ends strong. What is it? Only nine episodes a season?
Something like that. But yeah, it's definitely picked up. It's still not as fulfilling to me as the first season. I feel like there's a lot of alternative storylines that are going on just to fill television time, to, you know, meet the obligations of this Apple TV contract to make money. But that's just the cynic in me. And you know, as you get older, the cynicism comes out well and good. So thanks for joining us, everybody, for another week, another discussion, and another many minutes this runs of, you know, weird, convoluted, inconsistent theories and breakdowns. But we appreciate you. Come back again. I am DP.
Stay black.
You're supposed to send us out.